They're playing basketball
all around the world.
We love their basketball.
To the beach,
they're
y'all.
They're playing basketball.
Let's go. All around the
we
world.
Love their basketball.
Y'all know this is so, so dead.
Favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court.
Come on.
I keep it so fresh on the microphone. I like no interruption when the game is on. I like slam dunk to take me to the hoop.
Yeah.
My favorite play is the alley oop. I like the pick and roll. I like the give and go. And it's basketball. Bow wow. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chairshot.com's impromptu sports podcast. My name is PC Tony. I am joined by the MVP of the chairshot.com, Mr. Velvet Pipes himself, the real Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very happy to be here. But PC, I just got to say, bro, if you're going to do that song, you got to go with the Curtis Blow original, man. Come on, man. You're better than that.
I went No soul.
I want the Like Mike soundtrack, baby. Here we go. And of course, we have with us to complete the triangle offense right here. We have the fabled one, the indie star who raises the bar, Aesop Mitchell.
White Mamba Scal right here of Chair Shot Radio. Two-sport athlete, baby. Here to drop in some knowledge of the ball and the styles. And yeah!
All right, Billy Hole. All right, Billy Ho, I gotta play that basketball track again. I got a sound clip for you, Billy Ho. Let's go. Let's take you to Paul Pierce's jersey retirement ceremony.
You know, the guys, the teammates. I mean, your teammates that you come up with. You know, I wouldn't even be here. I mean, this for me to sit here and see the teammates who are here: Twan, Walter, Leon, Dana Barros, White Mamba Scal, Kevin, Rondo. Man, you guys don't even know how good that feels that you guys support me like this, man.
Shout out to you, White Mamba Scal.
Hell yeah. And let's not forget Ray Allen repping his team down on the golf course with George Lopez.
George Lopez had a hole-in-one.
Yeah, because he got Ray Allen there instead of having him at the jersey retirement. Woo!
Oh my
and
goodness.
Shout out to Aesop Mitchell, man, for finally admitting and living up to his billing as the Brian Scalabrine of Chairshot Radio Network. Thanks for speaking your truth.
Just remember,
live your truth. Live your truth.
Just remember, he's got a ring.
Touche. Yeah. So does Jack Haley.
All right, before we get into things, let's pause for a commercial break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is Conrad Thompson from What Happened When Monday with Tony Schiavone and Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, and you're listening to the Chairshot Radio Network. And visit thechairshot.com.
Always use your head.
Shout out to John Tesh, baby. We had to let that roll right there. I think we all had a little bit of fun dancing and romancing as we hit the middle. Well, the late middle of the NBA season. Let's jump right into it, you guys. Where do you want to start? Eastern Conference or Western Conference?
Well, since we're all repping the East, man. Oh, okay, fair enough then. We'll start with the West.
No, no, save the best for last. So we're going with the West.
Last. Wow.
We were right. We were on the same page.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
I think if we're talking about the lower half of the East, I think the biggest thing to talk about is the fact that Blake Griffin coming over from the Clippers to the Pistons, as we sit at the All-Star break, they're a game and a half out of the playoffs. Do you see them overtaking the Heat, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Pacers, jumping into the playoff race? Platt, let's start with you.
I could see them overtaking one of those teams. I would say if they were going to overtake one, I would say Philly, even though they have the most upside of any of those teams. They're still young. They're still figuring it out. They're trying to figure out how to win. Plus Embiid and Ben Simmons, who arguably is going to mess around and become the best player in the league eventually. But they're young, and they've never went through a whole 82-game schedule. Not saying they will this year either, knock on wood. But, you know, I see them hitting the wall come in sometime in March or April, and I can see them fading out. Excellent move by the Pistons, by the way, picking up Blake Griffin. I mean, they had nothing to lose. They didn't really give up a whole lot. And in the NBA, you either need two transcendent superstars or you need three all-stars to be able to compete for titles. So now they've got two in Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, who is an animal. So maybe, you know, with LeBron allegedly leaving Cleveland and perhaps going out west, the East is going to be wide open next year. So maybe they can pick up another all-star along the way and really give a go at this. Plus, they've got Stan Van Gundy, who's one of the coaches that matter in the league. So I can see them making a go at it next year. But, yeah, excellent pickup. And I'd be surprised if they didn't squeak out a 7 or 8 seed in the playoffs this season.
Aesop, I'm going to move up the ranks here and have you talk about the 76ers and the Heat, because they're really close there. The Heat have played a lot more games than a lot of people. And when I say a lot more, I mean two or three. But 30 and 28, 30 wins also for the 76ers, but only 25 losses. Where do you see these two teams factoring in, and do the Clippers maybe pass them up?
The Clippers.
Yeah.
I mean, the Clippers, Midwest Clippers, the Detroit Pistons.
Good save.
I do kind of see the Pistons kind of overtaking one of them. I don't exactly know what's ailing the Heat as of late. They were kind of hot for the longest time, and now they've kind of hit a cold spell. And I do agree with Christopher Platt, too, that the 76ers just don't have the experience to kind of last through an entire season where they're at. I think they're going to fall at some point in time between now and the end of the regular season. It's kind of a coin flip at this point, in my opinion. But I do think that the Pistons take over one of those spots and kind of get themselves into that playoff picture.
And shout out to the Sixers, by the way, man. They're young, but they're one of the most entertaining teams on a night-to-night basis to watch. And it's just really fun watching those young guys get it together and figure it all out. And they're going to be fun.
All without Markel Fultz. Woo. Woo.
So what do you think about him, man? Because he got hurt so early, man, I couldn't really get a bead on him. And so, and they're saying that he may come back in the second half. But what do you think about him?
You know what? That's just Philadelphia trying to save face, man. They need to take their losses here and just admit that guy's a bust. Probably the biggest bust of all time.
Wow. Really? After what, two or three games? Really?
Who's that dude? Really do Bennett? Think so. I don't think Who's that guy dude? Is coming back.
Anthony Bennett?
Yeah, he does not have the stamina for NBA basketball, man.
Yeah, it's got to be Anthony Bennett.
Or Darko Milicic?
At least Anthony Bennett got some meaningful playing time in the NBA. What did Markel Fultz do?
He got hurt after like two or three games, man.
Milicic runs like a sheep farm or something, though.
But he stayed in the league for a few years. I think he got about 5 or 6 years under his belt. I mean, Anthony Bennett is selling insurance for State Farm now. And I would go with Bennett or Tabeat. You remember him, the 7'3 guy out of UConn?
Hasheem Tabeat, baby.
Yeah.
He still plays.
Where?
At the Y up the street. I run up there every Wednesday.
Yeah. I was about to say, your local community center.
You just got to use your ass to box them out. It's something NBA players don't do anymore. Box out.
Kangaroo style, baby.
Let's move up a half a step in the Eastern Conference and talk about three teams that are really right within a game, half a game of each other. I'm talking about the Wizards, the Pacers, and the Bucks. Obviously, the Wizards are waiting for John Wall to come back from injury. The Pacers, kind of a shuffle up this year, but they're playing really well. And the Bucks, everybody's waiting for them to actually emerge as a contending team as opposed to just being a team in the middle. So let's start with Aesop here. What are your thoughts on these three teams as we move into the latter third of the NBA season?
What I know for sure is that that number four seed is going to be huge for the whichever one of these three takes that spot. I'm telling you, they're going to be thankful that they won that many games. Now, Washington, I don't know what could happen until John Wall gets back. You know, that guy is the de facto leader of that team. Indiana, man, they got Oladipo running one hell of a season. And the Bucks, you know what? I want to get someone else other than Giannis that steps forward into this, into like in charge and shit, man. Because it's bothering me personally as a Milwaukee Bucks fan to see this type of mediocrity for the talent that they have on that squad. Because realistically, there should be no reason why they're not in that three seed, especially with the fact that Cleveland faltered so hard during the, like, you know, the quarter way point. They have the talent that they should have won a lot more games than they lost.
Shout out to the Indiana Pacers. Man, they have overachieved this year, and I didn't expect them to even be in the mix at this point in time. Victor Oladipo, he seems to have put it together, and he's balling his ass off this year, man. He's having a great season, and he earned his earned his All-Star spot this year, man. He really has. As far as the Bucks and the Wizards go, I kind of put them in the same boat. They're two immensely talented teams that, for whatever reason, just can't seem to put it all together. And they kind of fall in the same category. I put them, and I know we're going to get to some other teams, but I put them, Toronto, and I would even put Boston in that mix as well. As far as teams, I call the Eastern Conference the not ready for primetime players because, you know, as shaky as the Cavs have been this year, I don't see any team that's willing or able, rather, to step up and knock them off. So Milwaukee and Washington, again, I don't know what's missing there. Maybe a coaching change would do wonders. Maybe they need to reconfigure the squads and figure something out. I don't know what it is. All right, although I would hedge my bets on with Milwaukee until Jabari Parker gets back, man, because I think he adds a lot to your team.
Oh, no, he's been back. He's been playing for about 5 or 6 games. He's averaging about 10, 12 points. He's just kind of been slowly worked in, 20-ish minutes a game. So we'll see what happens. It's something nice for the Bucks to have when Giannis is on the bench, so you still have a scoring option. Well, Bucks-biased podcast.
But that's what I mean. I mean, I know he's back, but he's not really back. He's still trying to work it out, kind of like Isaiah Thomas was.
Two knee injuries, I mean.
Yeah.
That's very, very difficult. All right, let's slide on over to the West Conference and talk about the bottom half of the playoff situation there, okay? Now, I can actually bring up the Clippers here. My apologies. Thinking Blake Griffin, Clippers, Detroit, you know, honest mistake.
Yeah, sure.
That was it.
I think the most intriguing thing is that the Utah Jazz have won, 10 games in a row? And they're sitting right there after a horrible start to their season, along with the Clippers, Pelicans, Boogie's out, right? Trailblazers, big win the other night. Denver going into Milwaukee, well-rested, no reason they shouldn't win at home, taking care of business. Triple-doubles galore in that game. And then also OKC, maybe not winning as many games as everybody else has thought. CP, take me through the bottom portion of that Western Conference playoff picture because there's a lot going on there.
I mean, Denver, Utah, you know, those are two places that are difficult to play, so they're always going to have strong home records. Denver's a lot better than I expected. Utah as well, because they had quite the overhaul this season. But now with the trades and everybody coming in, I think, did Deep Rose go to Utah?
Then released.
Okay, because I was going to say, yeah, I don't see anybody that they got back from the Cavs making a strong impact. They'll probably hang on and be, you know, maybe the eighth or seventh seed in the playoffs. And the same with Denver, man. They're real strong. They're very athletic, but I don't see them making much of an impact. But as far as the bottom half goes, I'm looking at OKC. They struggled at first, and I think that the issue was that everybody was trying to acquiesce to everybody else. I think it's got to be Russell Westbrook and then everybody else. Theoretically, one of those guys has to take a back seat. It should probably be Carmelo because he's 15 years deep in the league. But that being said, he's still one of the top five scorers in the league. So obviously that third wheel is going to go to Paul George. But they're going to be very dangerous in the playoffs when the game slows down, and to have those three dynamic scorers in their lineup, they're going to be a very tough out when the playoffs come around. And I think they'll actually perform better in the playoffs than they would on a night-to-night basis in the regular season because of that.
I'm not liking the outlook for New Orleans. I really do feel like that Boogie loss is going to hamper them incredibly, both in the physical aspect of the game and mental aspect, because Boogie, again, de facto leader. I'd realize that city has been run by Anthony Davis for the past couple years, but Boogie came in there, and especially with the way that he was playing this year, he was looking mighty fine. And for him to go down like the way that he did, that just blows, man, because I really do feel like the Pelicans could have had upset alert written all over them, and it could have been a really nice story. I'm not really feeling the Clippers or Utah. I think pretty much what you got right now is going to be the Western side of things for the playoffs. The only one I feel could falter is New Orleans, but I still think that they hang on by the skin of their teeth.
I actually agree with Sop on that, man. I felt as if I'm Golden State right now, I'm breathing a sigh of relief that Boogie got injured, because it was probably going to end up being them playing New Orleans in the first round, and they had no matchup answers whatsoever for Boogie or the Brow, for that matter. So if I'm them, I'm like thanking my lucky stars right now that Boogie got hurt.
Boogie and the Brow.
At the same time, that's a that's a backcourt matchup nightmare for New Orleans, though.
I don't know. You know, you got Mirotić that just got with that trade, and he's been playing some pretty good ball as well. I won't say that he was a difference maker, but you never know. You know, this is a lot of what ifs at this point.
I'm just saying that the guard play of Golden State absolutely dominates the guard play of New Orleans.
Well, Drew Holiday is a former All-Star, though, man, so you can't sleep on him either. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
I believe that was with Philadelphia, too. Trust the process. Anyway, I digress. So, we got seven teams left to talk about, right? So, if you break the NBA down, in my opinion, there's seven teams that realistically have a shot. The Raptors, the Celtics, and Cavs, obviously, in the East. And then I save the Rockets, Warriors, Spurs. And let's not discount the Timberwolves, because they have the pieces. How well can they mold together? Let's start with the Western Conference and stay there as we move into the upper echelon. Timberwolves and Spurs. T-Wolves have played two more games, but they're no games back from each other. Who do you see coming up with the three seed here? Because the other ones, I don't know, interlocked, and we got obviously matchup problems coming either which way. Platt, take me through this.
Well, first and foremost, man, if I'm San Antonio, my top priority is making sure that Kawhi Leonard gets healthy and gets back. Because, frankly, I'm the Spurs, so it doesn't matter where I'm at seating-wise, I need my best player healthy and ready to go for the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota took that three seed. I don't really think it matters when it comes to the playoffs. I don't see them being a factor. I'm not going to lie to you. They're still trying to figure it out. Shout out to Tom Thibodeau. And this is one thing that people discard. And this is one of the reasons why Chicago didn't care so much getting rid of him. he's got the reputation of wearing his team out. So by the time the playoffs come around, they don't have anything left in the tank. He drives them hard. That's just what he is. He's a very successful coach. He's had a lot of success in this league, but that's the rub on him. San Antonio, I don't see either of those teams really being a factor when it comes to winning an NBA title. San Antonio is just not athletic enough. I like to pick up with Rudy Gay. I kind of feel like he should have always been a Spur. That's the perfect place for him to be. But at the end of the day, I don't believe in LaMarcus Aldridge. I think he is what he is. He's been playing a lot better this year. They finally realized that he's more Karl Malone than Tim Duncan, so they've allowed him to just kind of sit out there and shoot his 17-footers. But when it comes to LaMarcus Aldridge being an impact player, I got to lean on the illustrious words of Sean Corey Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
That was really soft. Hold on.
We don't believe
you. You need more people.
Thank you, sir. And I feel the same way about Minnesota. They're just not ready yet. Wiggins hasn't really developed and progressed the way I thought he would. And I think that's going to hinder them, too, because he can't shoot a jump shot. So you've got Butler and you've got Towns, but what else do you have? And shout out to George Teague, who's a good player as well. But I don't see them as a serious title contender at all. There's only three teams that are realistically going to win the title this year. And really, it's like 2.5 because I hold, you know, but we'll get to that later on. I'll just be quiet and let Sop say something.
I agree 100%. I don't think San Antonio is a threat at all this year. I don't think anyone is worried. Regardless of their seeding, I think who are they scheduled to face up against right as of right now? What is it, Denver? I think I could easily see Denver going in there, watching Jokic just fucking run those guys up and down that court. I would be afraid of going against Thibodeau and the Timberwolves, but as they said, as Christopher Platt said, man, Tom likes to run his team to the ground until there is absolutely nothing left. Just look at Derrick Rose. Just look at Joakim Noah. Both of those guys hardly got lower halves at this point with all of the running that Tom did to them back in Chicago. And they're lucky that they got some young guys now, but in a couple of years, who's to say that it won't be exactly the same thing? So I would be afraid of Minnesota as of right now. At San Antonio, I think they're missing something. They're missing that Tim Duncan presence. There's a lot of leadership questioning in teams as of late. And I think that's been a huge factor in teams not achieving what they should be achieving. Because let's be honest, any one of the lower half teams that are not in the playoffs would kill to have Greg Popovich on their team, would kill to have Tom Thibodeau on their team. And, I think that these guys are kind of being misused in their coaching roles right now and thus in turn misusing the team.
Let's talk about coaching and Steve Kerr handing the clipboard to the players in a recent game in which they
My man!
What do you guys think of that?
It's the regular season. Who cares?
That was cool as hell, man. But if I'm Phoenix, I am pissed. Like, I could see you doing something like that at the end of the season when it really doesn't matter. But before the All-Star break, if I'm Phoenix, I am pissed. But obviously, it didn't matter because they still beat them by 30. And frankly, Draymond Green is the coach of that team anyway. He is the emotional leader. He's the vocal leader. He's the straw that stirs the drink with Golden State.
I too wouldn't be afraid of a Phoenix team that didn't have Devin Booker. So you know what?
That's fair.
I think they were just doing just fine.
Speaking of the Rockets and the Warriors, or the Warriors and the Rockets, I should say, who do you see coming out on top and being the number one seed here? Because the way we're all looking at it and talking about it right now, these are going to be the two teams vying to come out of the Western Conference. And if you don't think home court is important for Houston, then you're crazy. Right, Platt?
I agree, man, and I see Golden State taking that top seed because I feel that Golden State understands that Houston is the only viable threat out there to them. I'm not saying that Houston is necessarily going to beat them, but the thing that Houston does well is that they'll be able to score with Golden State. Because the thing that frustrates people about Golden State, what makes them so good, number one, they're very good defensively, man, and they don't get enough credit for that. But number two, you to get a good shot on offense every single time you come down on the floor, man. Because if you have one or two shitty possessions, man, you can mess around and find yourself, man, it could be a 10-point swing, and then by that point, the game is over. Because I saw that in the finals last year with the Cavaliers. I mean, obviously, Golden State won 4-1, but those games were a lot closer. If you actually sat down and watched the games, they were a lot closer than the scores indicated. And typically what it came down to is an undisciplined Cavaliers team going 2 or 3 possessions on offense with poor shot selection or poor shots, or they would turn the ball over. And then, again, Golden State goes down on the other end of the court, and they know exactly what they're doing. So all of a sudden, a 3-point lead turns into a 7-point deficit, and then you're playing catch-up. And as we all know, catch-up go on hot dogs, so it has no place in the NBA. But, yeah, Golden State, Houston does post them.
Oh, God, the Christopher Platt Cleveland Cavaliers experience right here on the Impromptu Podcast. We now rejoin the Impromptu Podcast with Christopher Platt, Aesop Mitchell, and PC Tony.
But, yeah, Golden State understands that Houston does pose a threat to them, so they're not going to take their foot off the gas. And I think, ultimately, they're going to get that top seed, and it behooves them because that Oakland crowd is bananas, and it really does make an impact come playoff time.
I do see Golden State squeaking out on top. I think they're going to kick it into gear those last, like, what, 10, 15 games and just, you know, completely streak to the end. Houston won't be able to keep up with that. I agree as well. Houston really needs that top seed. They need that bad. But I just don't see them getting it. It's Golden State's title to lose, really. I mean, does anyone disagree with that?
I don't disagree. Oh, go ahead, PC. I don't disagree, man, but I will say this, man. In favor of Houston. There's a lot of miles on that speedometer when it comes to the Warriors, man. They've gone deep in the playoffs for the last 3 consecutive seasons, and eventually those miles do have to catch up with you. I think you've seen it this year with Chef Curry. Now, you can make the argument that he struggled with his shot, and you can make the argument that he struggled because he's acquiesced to Kevin Durant, so he's not as comfortable in the position he's in. You can make that suggestion. But Klay Thompson has also struggled as well, trying to kind of find his footing and figure out where his shots are going to come from. So, and they're smaller guys, they're leaner guys, including Durant. So I could see that mileage and those miles catching up to them as we go deeper into the postseason. So that might be a situation where Houston can catch them. Plus, we've got James Harden, who's playing his ass off, man. I mean, he's got to be the MVP this year. I said it on our last Impromptu Sports podcast. He had he had one of the greatest historical seasons of all time last year. It just so happens that his ex-teammate messed around and got a triple-double. So I think they're going to – well, obviously, they're going to go ahead and give him the MVP this year. And I think Chris Paul adds – I don't know how much he gives them on the court, but he gives them a toughness and a meanness and that veteran leadership that's going to help them out when it comes into the postseason. But all that being said, yeah, it's the Warriors' title to lose.
Well, you bring up Chris Paul, and that's one thing to mention, though. If he can play – like the Chris Paul, that throws a wrinkle in the whole Golden State Warrior game plan, because that's a guy who's Hall of Famer, one of the best point guards of all time. When he has his first step, he's tough because he's a menace on defense.
But that's a lot to ask from a guy, from a guard, an under 6'2 guard that's in his 14th year in the league. That's a lot to ask.
You never know.
I really don't see... You're saying that there's a lot of miles on Golden State. Here's the long and short of it, though, is that Western Conference is just burly, man. Every single one of those teams, even the ones on the bottom, towards the bottom, can whoop your ass any way they want to if you're an Eastern Conference team. So, you know what I mean? You might say, like, yeah, there's a lot of wear and tear on Golden State. But there's a lot of wear and tear just on the Western Conference in general. And they've shown to be the tougher conference overall for the most part. I really do think that you're undervaluing what the Golden State Warriors can achieve this season.
See, I disagree, man. Obviously, it's Golden State's title to lose. But I think top to bottom, man, the East is actually stronger than the West this year. I would argue that. If you take away the top tier teams, you take out, okay, you got Golden State, you got Houston. We'll throw San Antonio and Minnesota in there just for shits and giggles. But other than that, man, from top to bottom, I would say the East is actually stronger this year and starting to kind of make a comeback and shift the tides a little bit.
I don't know, man. I would take Oklahoma City over a lot of those Eastern Conference teams. A healthy New Orleans team, I would take them over much of the Eastern Conference as well. And, you know, Portland, you got Damian Lillard on there, man. And when C.J. McCollum goes off, he goes off all day and starts draining threes like it ain't no man's business. Denver, too. Kenneth Faried is a monster, man. And I'm surprised that he's stuck around so long. But when Faried and Jokic get together, man, those are some big-ass dudes that you don't want to mess around with.
If it's not Golden State.
LeBron, period. End of podcast.
I'm talking about the West. God damn it, Platt.
if it's not Houston.
All right, Platt.
Yeah, if it's not Golden State, it would be Houston. But I would also, like I said earlier, and like Aesop just mentioned, I would keep an eye on Oklahoma City because, again, when the game once the game slows down and every possession counts, it's really going to behoove them to have those three guys, those three offensive juggernauts on their team, and they're going to be able to score when a lot of teams aren't going to be able to score. But yeah, if it's not Golden State in the West, it's going to be Houston. But they've got a puncher's chance. That's how I look at it. They've got a puncher's chance. That's where it's at.
I'm going to keep my eye out for Minnesota. A lot of talent over there. All right, let's swing it back over to the Eastern side of
precisely,
things.
Precisely,
Sop. Well, I'm just saying, we'll see what happens. You know.
Have you ever watched basketball?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Right. You better watch out. That Shabazz Muhammad is going to be coming up and start throwing down some twos, baby. Some
That's
big
right.
twos.
Michael Beasley, he's finally going to put it all together.
Hey, man. You know what?
I was going to mention Butler Wiggins and Big Cat, but I'm not even going to fucking talk about it now. So whatever. You guys can go fuck yourselves. It's fine. It's all cool. It's all good. That might make the podcast.
Taj Gibson, he's taking it to the next level this year, baby.
Hey, man, I wouldn't want to meet him in the dark alley. Taj Gibson will whoop my ass.
Oh, hell yeah, I second that. But yeah, I second that. But he's not an impact player in the NBA. Quality player, really good player, not a difference maker.
And now, folks, you know why I keep them pitted against each other, because when they team up and turn on you, you're fucked.
Ruthless.
Well, I mean,
for
you're
the jugular, baby.
Say you gave the Timberwolves a shot.
Well, we'll see what happens. Cavs, Celtics, Raptors. Let's talk about the Raptors. Do they have a chance of even finishing out the season in the top two, or do we see a big run from the Cavs coming on up there? Because they're two games clear of Boston and 6.5 of Cleveland.
Yeah, they definitely have a shot. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished in the top two, especially consider Cleveland just traded their entire team, and they've got, 27 games to figure out the roster. So there's going to be it's more – at this point, it doesn't matter where Cleveland is seated. It really doesn't. So I wouldn't be surprised if Toronto ended up in the top two. Now, whether or not they're going to come out the East, I give them a puncher's chance over anybody else. I really don't believe in the Celtics at all. We've talked about this before. It all comes down to whether Jaylen Brown and what's the other young guy that they just drafted? What's his name? Help me out, y'all. No, it's another guy.
Smart?
No, Smart's not even there anymore. Jesus, man, where you been?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Avery Bradley. My bad. Yeah. No,
He's
Smart is
young.
What he is, man. No, I'm talking about Jaylen Brown and the guy that they drafted last year. Is it Ingram? It might be Ingram. Either way, it depends on their development, man, because as it stands right now...
I think you're thinking of Terry Rozier.
I don't think I am, but maybe I am. Either way,
well,
it depends
on... The Timberwolves.
But either way, it depends on their progression, man, and I wouldn't trust a first or second-year player in the playoffs. So if that's the case, man, Al Horford is going to be our second or third player, depending on Hayward's health going into the playoffs. If Al Horford is your fourth or fifth player, you can certainly compete for a title. If he's your second or third, you can't. And with no disrespect to Al Horford, he's a great player, man, perennial all-star. You know what you're going to get with him every night, 17-8, but there's a ceiling to that. And there's a ceiling to your team if he is your second or third best player. And that's why I don't believe in the Celtics. So, yeah, if anybody's going to knock off the Cavs, it's going to be the Raptors. But, you know, again, that doesn't even sound right, man. The Raptors in the finals. Yeah, come on, man. That don't even sound right.
Toronto just has this, like, granted, they're better than that. They have more talent. But they have this, like, 2003 Detroit Pistons feel to them. we're like, yeah, look at these hodgepodgey guys that, you know, are getting together and maybe make a run at it. I don't see it happening, but, you know, who knows? It's as Platt said, puncher's chance, baby. Boston, maybe. But, like, now that things are kind of getting in the swings, you know, LeBron's got his big white guy in Larry Nance Jr. I think I'm thinking it's going to be good stuff for Cleveland. Hey, look, you can shake your head all you want, but when LeBron's got his Zdrudas Ilgauskas next to him, that shit hits the fan.
Are you comparing Larry Nance Jr. to Zdrudas Ilgauskas?
And Birdman, baby. Birdman, too.
Oh, God.
I'm not laughing at the white guy comment. I'm laughing because Larry Nance Jr. Because I know Larry Nance Sr. very well. You know, he had his heyday or his best years as part of the Cleveland Cavaliers. So it's kind of
champion.
Exactly. Well, he was dunk champion in Phoenix. But he had his best run with those 90s Cavaliers teams. Very underrated teams with Mark Price and Brad Doherty. It couldn't get past Chicago. Like a, oh, Jesus. Don't remind me. Couldn't get past like a lot of other teams. But it's just funny to me because I know Larry Nance, and then I see Larry Nance Jr., and every time I'm saying, who is this white guy talking about? He's Larry Nance Jr. What the hell? That's what I was laughing at. Like, Larry Nance Jr. is a white guy. That's funny to me.
That's just how I feel about him, man. Like it or hate it. He is Big Z. He is Birdman. So now Larry Nance is the Nancy? I don't know. We got to come up with a better name for him, though.
So you do realize that his game is nothing like Zdrunas. It's closer to Birdman's than Zdrunas. But Birdman was just athleticism and energy. Larry Nance actually has a little bit of skill.
Nance-tastic.
Oh, no. I ain't hating on his play. I'm not at all. Don't get me wrong. I like Fancy Nancy. Ooh, I like Fancy Nancy.
I don't think he would.
You know what? He can deal with it.
Sponsors were paying him, he would.
No NBA guy player wants to be Fancy Nancy, man. That's just not how that world works, gentlemen.
Hi, I'm Fancy Nancy. Splash.
You know how much shit DeAndre Jordan probably got for throwing on a dress and a wig? Like, nobody wants to be Fancy Nancy, man.
Yeah, DeAndre Jordan's a big boy. I'm sure he handled it.
I'm just saying, Larry Nance Jr. is the white guy equivalent of all those other dudes that LeBron needed to get to the finals, to do well in the regular season. Granted, Big Z didn't do too much for LeBron, but Chris Anderson did. Larry Nance just needs to get some ridiculous tattoos now and a mohawk.
All right, this is the moment we've all been waiting for. This is why you tuned in to this impromptu NBA pod right here on thechairshot.com. Christopher Platt, give us your input on the Cleveland Cavaliers as we head towards the playoffs.
You know, I've been giving this a lot of thought, obviously. For those of you that don't know, my rooting interests lie with the Cavaliers. I'm a Cleveland native, born and raised, 216 in this bitch, yada, yada, yada. It's the first of the month, whatever, whatever. You know, the team as constructed previously, the pieces just didn't fit. And there was obviously a lot of turmoil. I'm looking at you, Isaiah Thomas. I'm looking at you, Derrick Rose, who lost your smile. And you know, shout out to D-Wade, but he's not D-Wade anymore. But the pieces of the team just didn't fit whatsoever. So when these trades came down, my first reaction was, meh. But the more I think about it and the more I look at it, and I've seen them play a couple of games now, the pieces seem to fit a little better now. So they've got that going for them. George Hill, he's a quality veteran. He's a defensive specialist that can hit an open three-pointer. As a matter of fact, as of this recording, I believe he's third in the league in three-pointers. And he's got veteran leadership. I mean, he's got playoff experience, rather. He's been through the wars in San Antonio and Indiana, and he was very instrumental to Utah's success last year during their playoff run. So that's a good pickup. I've never been that high on Jordan Clarkson. People that are more knowledgeable than me love him. I don't see it, but you know, we'll see. Perhaps I'm just wrong. That it, you know, it happens every 2 or 3 years. So this might be one of those cases as well. That being said, I kind of hope his minutes go to Calderon. Now that's the white guy, Sop. If you want to talk about LeBron needing a white guy, that's the white guy that needs to play more because everything just flows better when he's out there. Larry Nance Jr., again, he's a nice athletic guy. I'm hoping that he'll be able to provide a little bit of rim protection because Tristan Kardashian does not do that. And that's basically what Larry Nance Jr. is. He's a more athletic, he's a younger Tristan Kardashian Jr. So I like the Larry Nance pickup. And the guy that they got from Utah as well, I can't think of his name right now, but he's another young Hood, thank you. He's another young athletic guy that is a proven scorer in this league. The only thing that worries me about the team is that we're putting a lot of emphasis on Kevin Love right now because he's going to be the de facto number two. And shout out to Kevin Love because he's had an outstanding season, man. All-star, would have been an all-star had he not been injured. But he is injury prone. We don't know what's going to happen when he comes back. All that being said, though, this team makes more sense. The pieces flow better, and they've got 27 some odd games to figure it out, and they will, because as long as you have LeBron, everything will work itself out, and they'll be in the finals again this year, not because they're the best team per se, but because there's nobody in the East that is capable of knocking them off. And I hope that made sense to everybody listening.
Aesop, give us the Celtics side of this conversation in the East.
Really, the only thing that's keeping the Celtics in it is the desire of Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving really wants to shove it up Cleveland's ass so bad, and that's the only way that I see them cashing in their ticket to the NBA Finals, is as long as Kyrie Irving still has that hatred and absolute passion to shove his middle finger in the face of the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's what is driving him right now. Now, also, I kind of want to circle around back to the question that Christopher Platt answered. The difference between the guys that they had and the guys that they picked up before and after the trade deadline are the guys that they picked up, Larry Nance, Rodney Hood, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson. Those guys, they know their role. They don't want to be the top dogs necessarily. You know, they're more than fine just taking a step back and letting LeBron be LeBron and riding them all the way to the NBA Finals, potentially even a win in the Finals. You know, you had too many big clashing personalities before, and now you got some major guys out of the way for LeBron to take control of everything. I think the only one that I truly regret them getting rid of is Jay Crowder. I really do feel like Cleveland kind of ruined him a little bit. But, you know, maybe this was still for the best.
Are LeBron's plans changed now that he has this good young group of guys that he could possibly meld with for the rest of the season, Platt?
I don't think so, man. And it has nothing to do with the guys. It has everything to do with the guy, which is Dan Gilbert. And Dan Gilbert's a douchebag. And if I saw him in the real life, I'd probably smack the shit out of him and just spend the night in jail. He's a horrible human being. He's a terrible owner that meddles and can't and doesn't know his role. And I think that's the big hang up. And so you've got a situation where you've got LeBron and Dan Gilbert, basically, for the whole time LeBron's been back, they've been having a pissing contest against each other, man. And LeBron is a little pissy because he wanted Dan Gilbert to trade that number one unprotected pick that they got from New Jersey in the Kyrie deal. And if I'm Dan Gilbert, as much as I can't stand Dan Gilbert and wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire, I can't blame him at all for not wanting to trade that pick. Because if LeBron does end up leaving, which all indications lean to him leaving, you can't leave the cupboard completely bare. And you can't mortgage the entire future of the franchise based on LeBron's whims when you have no indicator whatsoever whether or not he's coming back. So as it stands right now, as of February of 2018, I would say that LeBron is out of there. Obviously, I hope not, but hope is for suckers, gentlemen.
Two questions left for you guys. First question, who is your all-star MVP this weekend?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
For me, if it's not Russell Westbrook, it's Giannis.
I can see Giannis. I don't think Russell Westbrook cares that much to really go all out for the MVP. Giannis is still that kid at heart, you know, mainly because he is a kid. And I think I could see him go out there trying to impress the shit out of everyone and kind of sealing it again. But man, that is a hard question. I'm going to go with Kevin Hart.
Well, he has been the MVP for the last, what, 3 or 4 All-Stars? He's hijacked the entire weekend, so that's actually a very good pick.
4-time celebrity All-Star MVP, Kevin Hart.
Didn't he retire?
Yes, he did. He did. Tonight it was Jamie Foxx versus Justin Bieber in the celebrity
game. Oh, yeah. Sign me up.
And I think his name is Cuervo. I'm not sure what these kids are doing today.
Cuervo.
But,
Migos.
The guy from the Migos, he actually won the celebrity MVP. He had 19 points, man, so shout out to him. You know what? I'm going to say Kyrie Irving. I feel like he's got a chip on his shoulder, like Sop alluded to earlier, and I think he's going to try to use this showcase to show ass and to show that he's arrived. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say Kyrie Irving is the All-Star Game MVP.
All right, gentlemen, one last question. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, you knew it was coming, Flat.
Touché.
Who we got in the finals?
Really?
I'm going Golden State.
Minnesota and Milwaukee, huh? That's where you're going, huh?
I'm going Golden State and Boston.
Oh, man, he thinks he's so slick for saying that, too. Boston.
who you got, Stop?
Hey, man, it's Golden State and Cleveland, baby.
Thank you, man. I just wanted to make sure PC was the only one smoking meth on this broadcast. It's going to be the Warriors and Cavs, man. Get your head out your ass, PC. Come on, man.
Wake and bake, baby.
Yeah, well, you don't go to sleep on meth, so ain't no wake, just bake. Yeah, it's going to be Boston. Not Boston, Jesus. It's going to be Cleveland.
Yeah, there you go. Man. Woo!
No. No, no, it's going to be, was this, would that technically be the fourth meeting, third meeting? I can't remember.
Fourth in a row.
It's fourth in a row. They're pretty much Cena Orton at this point in time.
Oh, God.
It's Avengers, baby. It's Infinity War Part 2 right now.
Okay, so you guys got Golden State winning it?
Yeah.
Yeah, as much as it pains me, yeah. Plans may change. Cards subject to change, but as of right now, yes.
All right. Last thoughts on the podcast today. We've had a good time. NBA All-Star Weekend coming up. 3-point contest. What do they got? The Skills Challenge. Obviously, we got the dunk contest.
Larry Nance!
The rookie, there you go. We got the rookie rising Stars game Saturday night. And then, of course, the whole spectacle on Sunday. We'll all be watching. Thanks again for tuning in tonight. Make sure you visit thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Last thoughts on the NBA season. A$AP Mitchell.
You know what? I'm going to wrap it up with my boy Larry Nance Jr. If he wins that dunk contest, it will be the first time ever father-son winners.
Oh.
Let's do it. Let's do it, Larry Nance.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Mr. Platt.
Fair enough. All in all, man, this has been a very entertaining NBA season. Obviously, we know where this is heading, what's going to be the finals matchup, but there's so many different compelling storylines out there to just keep you enthralled in the action. And from a night-to-night basis, the NBA is the most entertaining ticket in town, bar none.
Folks, I'll leave you this week with the most entertaining soundbite of the NBA season.
Yes!
Thus far.
You subbed Lonzo out early in the first and third quarter. Early in the first and third quarter to get him run with the second unit, and then that unit played very well together. Can you talk a little bit about the thought process on that and why you think that unit worked so well?
Yeah, his dad was talking, so I took him out early. I'm just kidding.